know each other. It's so good. It's so easy to pass by people and not say proper hello, not get proper connection. So it's so important to acknowledge each person and see, you know, how precious each person are. All right, we're going to read from Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Do you have a Bible with you? If you have a Bible with you, you can turn to Luke chapter 4. I'm reading from New King James Version. There is a screen and pictures also provided there for you. It's a short passage up to verse 14, so we can read it together. All right, are you ready? Okay, chapter 4, 1 to 3. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Now, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. Amen. Amen. Okay, so this is a very, very interesting and very important passage there. And I pray that God will give us revelation and insight in the Holy Spirit. This is recording a very hard-fought battle. And if Jesus didn't come through victoriously, you and I wouldn't be here. And how many wants to live a victorious life, spiritually victorious life in God, over temptation, over testings, and over the test and attacks from the devil? And I give you a short conclusion first. For us to live a victorious life, there is no other way for you and me except that we have to get into the Word of God seriously. We must be serious students of the Word. Anyone who has no more than passing interest to the Word of God and feel or believe he or she will be different from everybody else, but live victorious life over the devil's plan to destroy and discourage and delay God's plan and purposes for your life, is mistaken. We must dig into the Word of God. We must be, every one of us has to be serious student of the Word of God and allow the Word of God to do a deep work in your heart. Millions of believers think that they are okay and they do not dig into the Word of God. Deception is prevalent. Jesus overcame Satan by the Word of God. And Apostle John says in 1 John, you are strong because the Word of God abides in you. So if we don't fill our heart regularly, seriously, with the Word of God, and have a passing interest in the Word of God, please, at least don't be deceived to think that you are safe. We will not overcome Satan except by the Word of God. And sometimes the devil uses the Word of God to deceive. And if we don't study enough, and if we don't allow the Word of God to go deep, we will not be able to tell difference between the devil's voice and the Holy Spirit's voice through the Word. So you have to at least be able to know the Word of God better than the devil. Or at least know for what it stands for. Millions of people take the text from here and there instead of allowing the Word to truly speak into our lives. Taking a text to suit our situation just when it suits us is not enough to truly overcome. How many believe what I'm saying is true? Amen? All right. Because, see, we are no match for the devil in our own wisdom and strength. Devil had been around for thousands of years. He's been watching human behavior. Bible says God's people are destroyed because of the lack of knowledge of God's word. And unless we take time to dig in and study seriously, and then we are not going to be equipped enough to deal with the devil. So, Jesus, having been baptized in water and filled with the Spirit of God, he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit of God. And there he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Now, first lesson is being filled with the Spirit does not exclude us from testings and temptations of life. See, everyone gets tempted. And temptation itself is not sin. And most of us are not tempted directly by the devil. You can talk about, people say, oh, the devil had a really good go at me today. Devil can only be in one place at one time. He can't attack everybody. In fact, if devil attacked you personally, you're a very important person in his schedule. You're probably attacked by one of his underlings. Most of us struggle with underlings, and sometimes we accuse devil for taking us, and sometimes it's our folly, our stupidity. Temptation was inside of us. But Jesus had no temptation inside. It had to come from outside. And Jesus overcame every one of them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So while we ought to pray to avoid needless temptation, overcoming temptation makes you strong in God. Amen. See, John the Baptist graduated in the school of wilderness, right? He lived in wilderness. And now Jesus is there for 6 weeks in the wilderness. And then Israelite was led into wilderness. And there they were tested. So when you find yourself in wilderness, first thing is for you to realize God sent you to a school. When you find yourself in the wilderness, we need to know, you need to stay calm. You're in the school. God is preparing you. And I want to look at this in two levels. What can we learn about devil's tactic? How Jesus overcame all temptations? Because, well, first of all, Jesus' temptation as a son of God is not our level, right? We get tempted with all kinds of petty things. Jesus wasn't. But if Jesus overcame all this temptation, in it, you see a pattern of how you can overcome. Whatever the devil throws at you, it will not be more than what he could do with Jesus. In fact, you will find a very clear pattern. The devil's tactic hasn't changed at all. It's the same thing, again and again. Another level I want us to look at is that then, see, not only look at the temptation from Jesus' point of view, but from Satan's point of view. Because these 40 days, Satan brought his temptation to Jesus. Satan has a very clear goal and plan and purposes in mind in designing this temptation. So if you want to really understand the evil intention behind temptations, you gotta just for a moment think like the devil and see what he has against you, because devil is not a figment of imagination. He is a real person, very evil, very intelligent. And although most of us will not deal directly with devil himself, it's all the same. He uses his underlings to destroy you and to deceive you. So if we understand these things, it really helps you and helps me to be victorious. Amen. Because temptation, see, as long as we live on this earth, we will get tempted. And when you understand what lies behind and the purpose and the hooks that the devil uses, then when he comes at you, see, you see it coming. And to be forewarned is to be forearmed, because you're in a combat situation. The worst thing, you know, the pro boxers, they don't close their eyes when the punch comes at them. Well, the really good ones, they can see the punch coming. Even if they get hit, they don't close their eyes. If you close your eyes and retreat, and you're a sandbag. So that we want to analyze this. Amen? Okay, so when, first of all, did Satan tempt Jesus? Well, when Jesus just had a high moment spiritually, Jesus was baptized in water, Holy Spirit came on him, Father spoke the blessing on him. So, when you're in spiritual high, you gotta watch out. Because devil always comes to steal the blessings that God brings to you. Amen? The second one thing is the devil cannot take you all the time, as I said. He's got limited resources, very limited resources. So, you gotta just watch out a certain schedule. It's when Jesus was tired and hungry and physically exhausted and weak. Devil loves to attack people who are exhausted and tired, stressed out. So you gotta watch out for your schedule as well. When you are tired, you feel you are worn out, you are not taking a proper rest and proper food, you're not sleeping, then pay attention. See? Now, how did the devil attack? What was devil's first hook It's the same thing all the time. He is questioning. And the question is, if you are the Son of God, then do this, do that, do the other. What is he attacking? He is attacking Jesus' identity, Jesus' relationship with God. If you are Son of God, prove it. What did the voice say from heaven, the voice of the Father at baptism? He said, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." See, that is actually a mix of two scriptures. Psalm 2 verse 8, Isaiah 42 verse 1, and Psalm 2 1 says, "This is the Son of God, the Messiah, the King." Isaiah 42 says, "This is the suffering servant of God, servant of God." And these two identities really determine Jesus' life and course. And Satan always trying to push you out of your relationship with God and Father's approval and pleasure that you already have. He is going to try to get you to do something that you don't have to, for the wrong reason, for the wrong motive, to prove something. And he attacks your relationship with God. So that's his first hook, and then it gets more complicated. Now, how did Jesus fight? Each time he used the scriptures, the word of God. And where did these scriptures come from? Anybody knows? It comes from one book, Deuteronomy. All of them comes from one book, Deuteronomy. See, when Israelites came out of Egypt, Deuteronomy is a beautiful book on the testings and temptations. If you're in the wilderness, this is a handbook. Because Israel was lost in Egypt, in the wilderness for 40 years. And they were just coming out, they're just standing outside, overlooking the promised land, and Moses gives them the law once again to remind them, when you go in, this is what you've got to do. And all of that comes from Deuteronomy chapter 5 to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Those three chapters, that's good enough reason for you and I to read and study the book of Deuteronomy. I can't go into it. I read through. Just again, it's an incredible book. What a book about temptation. What a book about love for God, what loving God means. I think Deuteronomy must have been Jesus' favorite book. Because when somebody came to ask, what is the meaning of all life? What is the meaning of the law? He quotes from the same place in Deuteronomy. You shall love the Lord your God. And he talks about no compromise. This is the heart of the law. All right? But also, how did Jesus fight? Jesus was full of the Spirit, see? The Bible says the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. What is the belt? Belt is the truth. When you are full of the Spirit and full of the Word, when your stomach, when your inside is full of the truth of the Scriptures, then the Holy Spirit can take out of your belt the sword, the Word, and apply it. But if we are empty, there's nothing to draw out from, and there is a little shaving razor. That's all you got. You gotta get a million cut against the devil. You take it out and it's so short. You just step it. So you have to plunge your heart. See, our heart must be filled with truth. Then when the pressure comes, the Spirit of God, he's got whole range of weaponries to draw from. Amen. So there you go. There's a challenge for us. And the question, see, behind Jesus' temptation is now that Jesus is filled with the Spirit, he's baptized, the Father's approval has come down. Who Jesus is highlighted, spoken out by John for the first time. Everybody knows, what devil knows, who Jesus is. The question is, what kind of Messiah will Jesus be? That's the question. So the first temptation is about the pull from bodily need. Okay? Important, it's very important to realize we are dealing with real places, real temptations, and real devil, Satan. So it was not a visionary experience or hallucination of Jesus because he was so hungry. I watched some sort of movie, I think it's just a little clip where Jesus is kind of, the devil's kind of, you know, giving visions, almost like hallucination because Jesus is hungry. No, no. It wasn't hallucination. It wasn't a visionary experience. It was a real experience. Devil is very intelligent. And he must have the exact location of the temptation, we do not know for sure. But it must have been one of the eastern hills and slopes of Judean desert. Deep rocky ravine with hyenas and jackals in the night. And then desert rocks look like a real bread in those days. Can you see those rocks? The bread in those days looked like that, reddish and not pretty like now. And 40 days. My goodness, it's a long time to go on without food. How many have gone 40 days without food? No one. It's hard. How many have gone no food whatsoever? How, what was it? Did you feel your...
Yeah, it was a challenge.
Wow. Okay, praise the Lord. Somebody has done it. All right. I haven't. I went 21 days, three times, and man, it's hard. Just on water. Yeah, I asked. Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, no wonder you're a prayer warrior. But 7 days, even 3 days, your body cries out for food. You are hungry. It says, Bible says, Jesus was hungry at the end of 40 days, and the devil comes to strike three times more. You know, after a certain time, body, everything in your body cries out. I know when I was doing first time 21-day fasting at night, at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, I come out and I go into internet and look at all the sites of food, salivating, studying. And then Mia came out, you know, well, what are you doing? I'm looking at all the pictures of the pulled pork and you go to sleep, 5 more minutes. So devil said, if you are the Son of God, see, you are the creator. You can turn these stones into bread. Jesus' first miracle to turn water into wine. Only just a few days after this, Jesus turned water into wine. There was no shortage of power from Jesus' side. But what was the problem? Well, Jesus was not going to use his power for personal edification, personal need first. He was going to put the will of God first over all his personal needs at all times. Okay? That's what's really what it's all about. You know, what Jesus said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word of God. It's a rhema. When you are hungry, only thing, like I was, you know, it's a bad thing. I advise you not to do what I done. Your whole thing cry out for food. And Jesus said, in the midst of all that, his hunger and desire for the word of God, dependence on the word of God is greater than food. That is a mastery over your bodily, fleshly appetite when the situation is pressurizing. See, what kind of Messiah will Jesus be? Will he use his power to meet his needs first? Or is he going to put the will of God first? And devil attacks all the time. Sometimes we fall with our own temptations, and that is we don't have mastery over the bodily appetite and desires of the flesh. What if Jesus didn't overcome this temptation? You know, 3 years later, Jesus' body is going to hang on a cross. His body will be crying out for relief. If you give in, if you don't have a mastery over your own body, you could might as well just come down from the cross. But he didn't, because will of God takes precedence over. See, why are we given physical body? Jesus said, it is to do the will of God. That's why the body is given for us. So you gotta have a mastery over our body, over our appetites of all kinds. You know, we have appetite to take revenge. We have appetite to swear and to fight, to curse people. We have appetite for all kinds of things. Vengeance is a terrible appetite. And many other fleshly appetites. You know, that's what one of the fasting means. Fasting is that you actually are putting hold. You are putting a control over your bodily demands to seek God. And that releases you from all kinds. It gives you a great release when we seek God in this way. So that's what Jesus did. Okay? So the lesson for us, we need to learn to bring our physical, bodily appetite under the control of the Holy Spirit. Amen? How did Israel fail first time in the desert? It was again about the food. God has given them what they need. All the nutrients are there, but he's saying, I want meat. I want different types of food. My body cries out for this. And they complained. And then they failed that way. What about Adam? It was also to do with the fruit. Ooh. So much of our food, MasterChef, beware, you know. MasterChef is good, good food is good, but don't get dragged around by physical things. And we do have that, and to walk with God, to have a victory, we got to learn to, at times, say, no. You know, Apostle Paul talks about people, Christians, he says, these people are leading astray. They're very, very deceived. Don't follow them. And he says, for them, their God is their belly, their stomach. Their physical appetite is what they ultimately serve. So don't follow them. They'll end up in destructive pathway. You can check it all out in Philippians chapter 3. But there we go. That's Jesus overcame. At a weakest point, he learned to say no. Second temptation is the pull from this world. Okay? Why did Jesus come? He's a Messiah. His identity is now revealed to reign over all the kingdoms of the world on behalf of God the Father to bring the righteousness into this world. He is the King, promised Messiah. And the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world in a moment. When you go to Israel, there is a place called, well, you know, more like a sort of eastern part of that, you know, Jordan, in fact, near Jericho, very close to Jericho. There is a place called Mount Temptation. And it's a very high mountain. There is a monastery in there as well. And you can go up there on top of the mountain by now cable car. And over there in Jesus' day, you'd have looked down and seen many kingdoms like a microcosm of the kingdoms of mankind. So that's a monastery. You can have a overlooking beautiful, beautiful stretch of the different kingdoms and so on. You can see the city of Jericho from there. And the devil says, look, your purpose is to be the king over God's people. You can get there without the cross. You just have to take my bait and have a little bit of compromise, and I'll give you what you need. You will get there. You will reach your destiny without the way of the cross. He says, it's already been given to me. All the kingdoms of the earth has been given into my hand. I can give it to whomever I want. If you want, I'll give it to you. You just fall down and worship me just a little bit. What did Jesus say? Get thee behind me, Satan. See, interestingly, Jesus never challenged the devil that this is a false offer. This is a real offer, because Satan is the prince of the air of this world, this present world. Because the authority originally had been given to Adam, but Adam, by his disobedience, handed over to the devil. So the devil can give it to anyone, even Christians, and saying, if you are willing to compromise with me, I'll make you rich, I'll make you famous, I'll make you succeed. In fact, he makes that kind of deals. People make that kind of deal. And the message is that you can do a lot of good. You can fulfill, you can become great. You can do a lot of good. Can you imagine how much good you will do with the power and authority you will have? But you can get there by compromise. You can get there without the cross. You know, I know some of the very wonderful pastors and preachers have been given that kind of temptation. I know many artists actually make that kind of deals, right? But in small ways, we also come across situations like that. Freemasonry and Mormons, they come and say, if you can actually become secretly our member, I'll make you famous, make you a great preacher, and so on. You have to turn those things down. Okay, what did Jesus say? Get thee behind me, Satan. And then, what happened? Later on, Satan tempted Jesus again at an opportune time. This time, he spoke through Peter's mouth. Jesus says, I'm going to now, you know who I am, I'm going to face the cross. And he said, never! You should rule the world, no cross! And Jesus said the same thing. He heard the same voice of the devil. Get thee behind me, Satan. Because you are not mindful of the things of God, but things of man. So that voice of the devil can come through directly from the devil, or through very good friends. Take a shortcut. Take a little compromise. It's all right. You get there faster, quicker, easier. Yesterday, I had to ask myself, why is message of victory without cross and obedience so popular in Christian church today? So popular. You can live a victorious life. You'll be famous, rich, strong, and everything. There is no cross whatsoever. No denying the flesh. No obedience to the word. Jesus has done it all, so you just live any which way you want. Blessing is yours. Is the message that is very, very popular. And where is that message coming from? There is another kind of message saying, you can sin all you want because Jesus has done everything. It's okay. You're just being blessed any which way, and you're going to end up in heaven. So don't worry. Be happy. Live it up. God will make you powerful, rich, and strong. You don't have to deny yourself at all. Why is he so popular? So you see, we have to get into the word to know, get into the meat of it. Amen? Hallelujah. What kind of Messiah will Jesus be? Will he be establishing mighty empire that will rule the world without the cross? And Jesus said, no, no, no. It's the Father's way. It's the Father's will. In fact, Jesus said, this is what it means. In fact, Jesus was quoting here about the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. See, this is the real meaning of the first commandment, is worship God alone. When you're willing to compromise, mix God's word with worldly standard and saying, it's okay, you can still do a lot of good. That is worshiping Satan for a little while. And Jesus said, we've got to be very careful. So he overcame. Hallelujah. Amen. In fact, at the end of the age, there is another person who will receive from the devil all the powers of the kingdoms of this world. Who is that? Antichrist. He will jump at it. But God's people must learn to say no to juicy proposals from the devil when you can smell compromise and poison in it. Amen? The last one is the third temptation, is that it's the pull from the people, popularity and acceptance. The pinnacle of the temple is real in Jerusalem at the time. Now it's been destroyed, but there is still a temple precinct platform today. From the temple precinct, that's the wall, and from the, you know, every morning, high priest will rise up to the highest place and call, overlooking the temple precinct and overlooking the plains, and he will call people for morning sacrifice, and everybody will come to morning sacrifice. And the devil took Jesus there, say, look, if you can just be a Superman, throw yourself down and glide down and land on your feet, everybody will be convinced of who you are. You will become the greatest, most loved, most effective preacher of all time. In fact, you are that high priest. People will worship you. You will have them in the hollow of your palm. You can have them to eat from your hand. I'll make you rich. I'll make you most loved, accepted. See, if what kind of Messiah will Jesus be? To do, see, Jesus' ministry had to do with signs and wonders and healing the people. And if he could, if devil could make Jesus do those things to get people's love and attention, acceptance, to be famous, to be loved, to be accepted, to be liked, to be well spoken of, he could destroy Jesus' ministry. But he didn't do it. So the ministry of the Spirit is real. Hallelujah. We believe in healing, signs, and wonders. But Jesus didn't move for people. He moved by the will of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Is he going to work spectacular, if pointless, miracles in order to be popular and loved? No. Okay? It's actually very interesting when you look at the scripture there. Devil actually quotes, doesn't he? Quotes the scripture and saying, if you do that, because he quotes Psalm 91 and saying, word of God says you will, and then you'll be fine. But he misquoted the devil. The devil misquoted the scriptures. I taught this, I think, last year. When you look at it carefully, it's talking, he missed out the word, God will keep you in, his angels will keep you in all your ways. It's a prophecy about Messiah, and Jesus knew that, devil knew that. God keeps us in our ways, in the right ways of God. But devil was calling Jesus out of his ways, to out of God's ways, to his ways. Do something spectacular to prove something. And then he was calling Jesus out from his ways to his ways. Well, God's ways to the devil's ways. Wrong motivation for the wrong ways and wrong things. See, Jesus didn't have to prove anything. He didn't have to do a thing to prove. See, when the devil can get you out of God's ways, your life and my life out of God's way, make us depart from that, then he's got you. Because the protection is really for those who are in the will of God, in the ways of God. Amen? Amen. All right. So now, finally, let's think about then what was the devil's. We looked at Jesus' point of view, how he overcame, which if we can actually learn and apply, there is no temptation that is higher than this that devil can throw at you. Now, we deal with a lot of lesser ones, yeah, envy and jealousy and strife. Jesus didn't have to deal with these, but he dealt with these three, which are really the same thing that the devil brings again and again. It's actually exactly the same thing he brought against Adam. And he brought this against Israelites. And Jesus was the only one who got the perfect score. Now, so what's the devil's tactic? See, devil's tactic, his trick is to get Jesus to disobey and move him out of his relationship with God. Then he can destroy the mission of Jesus. See, remember Herod tried to kill Jesus by wiping out the baby under age of 2. But Satan is far clever. He doesn't have to destroy Jesus. Jesus is protected in all God's ways. So what is he going to do? He gets Jesus. He pushed Jesus out of his perfect relationship with God and perfect will of God. And get Jesus or deceive Jesus to disobey the word of God. Then he doesn't have to destroy him. It's the same tactic. The devil cannot destroy you because you got angels. Amen? You got angels. What's his tactic? He's gonna make you to disobey the word of God. If you and God are not in the right relationship, then he's got you in the palm of his hand. He can do whatever he wants. Louder. Yeah. So that's his tactic. Amen. Devil is a liar. He's a killer. He kills people before their time. Before their time. By getting them out of the will of God, getting them to do some stupid things for stupid motive when we are already sons of God, loved by God, we have to obey God's command and worship him, serve him with joy. But he's trying to get us to do things. What is he trying to get us to do things? By pressurizing and pressing the buttons. What is it? Needs of your flesh, enticing your desire for power, worldly power, and promising popularity and success in his terms. 1 John 2:15 to 17 perfectly summarizes this, and he says this. John says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." So you gotta choose the one or the other, world or the Father. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh," what is it? First temptation. "The lust of the eyes," second temptation. "The pride of life," third temptation, "is not of the Father, but of this world. And the world is passing away and the last of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Amen. You and I abide forever. Because we must be able to tell the difference between loving the Father, loving the world. These things are not forever. All the systems of this world is going to pass. And those who follow after those things will also pass when the world passes. But those who do the will of God will abide forever. Amen. Now I'm going to close. But see, Jesus went into the wilderness as a son of man. Hallelujah. That's good. How did Israel do in the 40 years of wilderness? Why are they in 40 years in the wilderness? Because of 40 days of disobedience. 1 year for every day of disobedience. That's why they were there for 40 years. Jesus, 40 days in wilderness, perfect score, 100%. He's the only one who said no, 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 no as a son of man. Amen. What does that mean? See, he's the first and only human being who defeated the devil in his own games. Perfect obedience. So next time you and I are tempted by the devil, what do? We call on the one who overcame, who is inside. That's why he's done it. He's shown us the way. And he's done it on our behalf. We can call on his help. I heard about this guy who was walking in tremendous victory. And then this preacher asked, what is your secret that you're walking in such victory over every temptation? He said, well, you know, every time, you know, that Satan or his underlings come and trying to tempt me, I call on Jesus. Jesus, 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 until Jesus comes and the devil goes. Praise the Lord. Because Jesus cannot come at you all the time. See? He's got limited resources. And his cohorts can only come when you are. They come and they go. But when you overcome, it makes you stronger. Amen. See, when Jesus came out of the temptation, there's a difference. Jesus went into the wilderness full of the Spirit. When he came out of the temptation, he was the full of the power of the Spirit. Now, the full release of the power was free-flowing in the life of Jesus. Because if God releases power, when we are not overcoming on the inside by the word, it'll destroy you. You're going to use the power the wrong way. For yourself, for the wrong reason, you're going to hurt a lot of people along the way. Anointing is going to destroy many people. So, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray that, you know, stay in. I pray that this year, come before the Lord. What is it that the devil's using against you that keeps working? It works. Wait on God. Make it. Make a decision. No, I'm going to move on. Move higher. What is it? And you want to, this new year, be a year for you to become truly victorious. Amen? The areas, precious, that made you fall and compromise in the past will no longer be able to make you fall in the same way. Because you dig into the word of God and you stay in the love of God. Stay under that voice. Why don't you close your eyes? And the voice that came down from heaven from the Father said to Jesus, as Jesus prayed, not just got baptized and prayed. And the Father said, you are my beloved son, my beloved daughter. In you I am well pleased. Praise God. Jesus has overcome. In fact, devil's defeated. In fact, he's badly wounded. Praise the Lord. His armors are stripped off. He's not what he used to be. It's a lot easier now. You got Jesus inside of you. Word of God inside of you. Holy Spirit inside of you. Let's do the will of God. Let's overcome in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. Hallelujah. I'll close right here. 12 o'clock. Hallelujah. I want to just pray for you. Why don't we stand? Let's stand. In fact, stand. Let the Holy Spirit move on you. I feel the Lord just moving on your heart. Hallelujah. The Lord is moving here. We all want to go higher in God, right? Hallelujah. This is a moment. We do business with God. Dear Lord, whatever the tactics of the devil that worked in the past, you can see it, you can identify those right now. Was it somebody's criticism? What is it that you give power over to devil, hand it over so easily because we're not secure in God, in who we are? We claim it back in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, Lord, that you bring knowledge and truth, encouragement in the name of Jesus, no condemnation to those who are in Christ, Father God. Lord, I pray each and every person will receive that truth, the sword of the Spirit, O God, that we will overcome. Devil will not have his way, but Lord, you will have your way. We are all anointed by the Holy Spirit, O God, to do your will. So thank you, Lord. There will be breakthroughs in the name of Jesus. There will be victories in the name of Jesus. There will be overcoming in the people of God in the name of Jesus. Especially, Lord, as we come to the end of 1 year and facing New Year, Lord, it will not be as before. But Lord, that we will break out, oh God. And Lord, your presence, your word, your power will also break out of your people, out of your church, in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Baptism will take place between 2:30 and 3. So if you're free, you're welcome to Cornerstone. Amen. If anybody needs prayer, you can just come up and then we'll pray for you.